Hey, Lord. Father, we just are so grateful to be in your house with your people. Thank you for this gorgeous, bright sunshine, for this weekend where we can remember those that have fallen. We love you, Lord. We love that you have guided and directed this country to the place that it is now, and just ask that you'll continually guide and direct us. Keep each one of us mindful of who you are and all that you've done. Your holy name we pray. Amen. Today's message, it's kind of a fun message in a way. It's been titled, Incomparable Generosity. And if you know God the way that He wants you to know Him, you realize that everything we have is a gift. Everything that we have, it has been bestowed upon us, not because we deserve it, not because we're wonderful and He owes us anything, but strictly because He's a good God and He cares so much. I'm starting, it's basically the first 16 verses of Matthew 20, but the last verse in Matthew 19 is really tied in. There's a sandwich here where it starts with and ends with the same concept. And this is a concept, many who are first will be last and the last first. Back a couple chapters ago, the disciples were kind of arguing and scheming and trying to plot about which one of us is the greatest, which one of us is going to have the best place in the kingdom, and there were a number of different stories that took place in that. Jesus keeps trying to point him back to, try some humility, recognize that if you don't come to the Father as a little child, you're missing out. You won't be able to enter the kingdom, because in order to be in the presence of God, we have to recognize that He's God and we are not. And if we stop and meditate and think about that, that's an easy thing to acknowledge, but many of us live our lives as if we are God and He's an interruption. And so we need to know who God is, all He's done. And so Jesus has pointed out here, many who are first will be last and the last first. And then He starts telling a story. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. And that was a typical day's wage for a day laborer, was a denarius. A soldier would have been paid that much per day. That was what would be expected. There's people out there in the marketplace, they're looking for work. He comes out and finds them, says, "Would you like to work for me? This is what I'd like to pay you." They agree to it. And so they go into the vineyard and start working. Well, he went out about the third hour. So if they started at 6 in the morning, he's going out at 9 o'clock. He saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, "You go into the vineyard also, and whatever is right, I will give you." And so they went. He must have had a good reputation. Again, this is about the kingdom of heaven, so it's probably about God, right? I mean, if you start thinking about some of these things. So whatever's right, he'll take care of them. And good reputation, they didn't squabble about what that would be. They needed the work. He needed the workers. And so he's called them, and they've joined in and go out and start working. Well, so they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour. So about every 3 hours, he's going into town. He's finding there's more people that need to be working here. And one thing I like about this, if this is about the kingdom of heaven, it seems to be that he's pretty open and willing to bring everybody in. And if they're willing to come, he's like, he's going to be fair with them. He's going to take care of them. And he kept doing this throughout the day. About the 11th hour. So, you know, this first group, they've been out in the field 11 hours working hard. And then there was the group that came 3 hours later and 3 hours later, etc. And the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day long?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." Now when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, starting with the last group to the first. When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. They got a day's wages for their hour of work. Pretty good deal, right? This is not normal economy. This is the kingdom of heaven. It's like everybody's going to get the same thing. And so when those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. Now again, he's talking to a crowd. He's talking to his disciples. These are the disciples that were kind of trying to figure out, okay, what are we going to get? Remember, Peter had gone to him and asked, you know, we've given up everything. Don't we get some special blessings? And he says, everyone's going to be compensated more than they can possibly imagine. It's all good. But this group, they thought they were going to receive more. But when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received just a denarius. That's what they'd agreed to be paid. When they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, those who were hired last worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day's work and the scorching heat. Do we know any Christians like this, that it's like we've worked so hard and then you get these people just off the boat and they just come in and they get all the blessings and they get everything and all we get is the same thing that they get, what you said you would give us. Like eternal life, a house, in, you know, a room in your house. I mean, God's promised so many things and we agree to it and then it's like, oh, but I'm working so hard. Scripture talks about not growing weary in doing good. And I think these guys kind of grew weary in doing good because they expected more. They wanted more. We always look at fairness from our own eyes. It's like, I'm better than them, and so I should get more than them. And I think there's a lot of us that start looking at others and judging and thinking, well, yeah, I'm glad God saved them because they really, really needed it. And he took me too because I'm special. And that's kind of how our mind goes sometimes. But he answered and said to one of them, these grumbling guys that thought they should have gotten more, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I want to give to this last person the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I want with what is mine, what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I'm generous? So the last shall be first and the first last. And he gives this story as an example. The first will be last, the last will be first. You know, Peter's worried about what are we going to get? We started this. We came right away when you called us and we've given up everything and we should, you know, and you know, James and John, they even called their mom in and said, hey, mom, could you convince him that we should be on his right hand and left hand? In the kingdom, we want to be able to rule and reign with him. And they're all trying to vie for a position of importance. And Jesus is saying, I love everybody. The first will be last, and last will be first. And it's all going to work out. And if you recognize that you really didn't deserve any of it, just be happy with what you've been given. I'm going to jump to a different story in the book of Luke, and this is one that kind of talks on the same theme. We probably know this story as the story of the prodigal son. And yet, in my mind, it's more about the grumbling brother. And I think because I was raised in the church and I've been with following God most of my life, I've strayed and wandered a little bit. He keeps calling me back. He's so faithful. He's so good. He doesn't let us get too far away without some reminders. But, you know, I feel like sometimes, you know, I've got all of these years of ministry here and with group homes and as a teacher, and I've done so many things for you, Lord. I was a crew coordinator with the Christian camp, and I, you know, and boy, I've really... It's like, no, I haven't earned a thing. I've been blessed to be able to work in the vineyard of the creator of all things. He's allowed me to come in to do work, and then he's compensated me way more than I could ever imagine, way more than I deserve. So this story about the two brothers, there was a man, and he said a man had two sons. This is Jesus. He's been telling some parables. He was talking about the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin in Luke, and now he comes up to this one. A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the estate that is coming to me." Basically, he's saying, "Dad, I wish you would hurry up and die. I want my stuff." And so he divided his wealth between them. Now, that's kind of interesting that this father would divide his wealth. But look, it says divided it between them. He gave the young son some, but he also took care of the older son too. Not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey to a distant country. And there he squandered his estate in wild living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began doing without. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And that son, that young son that had had his inheritance and squandered it and wasted it, he longed to have his fill of the carob pods that the pigs were eating. And no one was giving him anything. That's got to hurt. It's like, this is somebody that, even when he's home with his dad, all he could think about was, I want stuff, I want things. He was living for stuff. And then he gets to this point where he doesn't have anything. And there's no one helping him, and he's wishing that he could eat the pig food. When he came to his senses, before I continue on, how many of us have family members, friends that were following Jesus at one point in their lives and have fallen away? How many of us have been there ourselves? And I love this, that God keeps on working and loving and caring, and Holy Spirit prods and the Father calls, and He's giving us every opportunity to come to our senses. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired laborers have more than enough bread, but I'm dying here from hunger?" It's like, wow, I blew it. Everything that I had, I took for granted, and I walked away and I squandered and wasted it. And now, wow, his dad's servants, dad's workers are so much better off than I am right now. So he decides, "I will set out and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired laborers.' So he set out and came to his father." Now this is the concept of repentance. And I think all of us, if we're straying and wandering away from God, we need to come to our senses and repent and be willing to go back, throwing ourselves at the mercy of the court of the creator of the universe, the court of the king of all kings. And what I love about this is this kid knows that he doesn't deserve anything at this point. He's coming back hopeful that his dad will show him some mercy, will show him some grace, will be generous with him. And when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." True statement. And the dad knows it. And what does he do about that? The father said to his slaves, "Quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, slaughter it, and let's eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. We come to the Father not deserving anything. And he says, yeah, I love you. Come here. Let me hug you. Let me treat you as a child, as a son, as someone important. I'm going to robe you with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm going to put a ring on your finger. That ring wasn't just any ring. It's not like, oh, wow, here you got a ring. It's like that's the signet that portrays you're part of the family. You can use that to get into places that you wouldn't be able to be otherwise. He shows and demonstrates love to his son, and he's excited that the son that he had considered was lost and gone and dead is now back to life and returned. And they began to celebrate. What a beautiful time. Do you know that the angels and the heavens celebrate when someone comes back into the fold, when someone returns to worship the Father? Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And most of us, if we heard music and dancing, we might start feeling the beat and come on in, and it's like, okay, this is pretty good, let's go join in, see what's happening. But he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. I'm not going into that, that sounds too happy. And the servant said to him, your brother has come and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. Well, this older son, this brother, became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. This is a father that loves both his kids. But he answered and said to his father, look, for so many years I've been serving you and I've never neglected a command of yours, and yet you never gave me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. The grumbling people that come out of the long hot day in the field and they think, wow, I should get more. I deserve more because he was nice to them. This jealousy can eat you up. It's like we should be happy with people that come back to Jesus and God rejoices and celebrates with them, and we should celebrate as well. And yet this brother couldn't bring himself to be happy that his brother had returned. All he could think about was, look how much I've done. I wish I could have gone out there and squandered your wealth and then gotten something. It's like he's just missing it altogether. And the father's pleading with him to come on into the party, celebrate with us. When this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you slaughtered the fattened calf for him. You never give me anything, but you do everything for this guy that doesn't deserve it. You know what that older son is saying is, I deserve everything you've given me. You haven't really blessed me with anything. Everything I got, I earned it. And we have a world that seems to think that we're deserving of what we get. If we really got what we deserve, none of us would be happy with that. And the father said to him, son, you've always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. Remember at the beginning, it said he divided the kingdom to give some to each of them, and everything that I had is yours. You've been here. You've had everything. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live and was lost and has been found. That story of the prodigal son, it's just like, yeah, the prodigal son, he made some mistakes, but he repented and came back. The older son apparently just did everything he was supposed to do, but not with the right heart. And God sure loves those of us that turn back to him and repent and recognize and acknowledge that everything that we have is from him, and it's not something we've earned or deserved, but it's something that he's bestowed upon us to just love us because he loves us. The older son didn't seem to get it. We don't know if he ever did end up into the party. the story stops there. God is so incomparable with his generosity. There's nothing that can compare to the generosity of our Father. He loves us in spite of the fact that he knows us. He loved both of his sons in this story. He wanted the older son to come in and celebrate. He wanted to recognize the younger son for repenting and returning. Each of us is in one or both of those categories. Sometimes we waffle back and forth between the two, wandering away and demanding God give us something that we think we deserve. We go to God in prayer and we tell him what he should do and how he should do it, instead of just going to him and saying, Lord, we know we don't deserve anything, but Father, we're so grateful for all that you've done. We're grateful for your word that Rebecca sang about earlier, the law of the Lord, that perfect law of the Lord. We're grateful for that the heavens declaring God's glory. We're grateful for learning of the glory of God through people around us. I was raised in a family where mom and dad knew Jesus and wanted me to know Jesus and introduced me at a very early age. And I'm so grateful for that. But those that have come later, they're not less. God is generous with everyone in all ways. And if we think someone's wandered away too far, just keep on praying that Holy Spirit will nudge their hearts, that Father will call them back, and that they will come to their senses. And if we're the ones wandering, we pray that we will come to our senses and return to God humbly, knowing that He is an awesome and generous God that's willing to give back way beyond anything we can ask or think. Amen.